Psalm 135 is amazing. I'm not going to be able to show you all that's in here, but there are several things that I had hoped we could talk about for just a few moments. The title of my sermon is Holy Boasting, and you may wonder, wait a minute, boasting is holy? When you think of boasting, if you think of someone who boasts a lot, that's not someone you really like to be with, is it? To boast is to be something that you are brag about, something that you think is exceedingly great. And when someone boasts about themselves, you say, that's really not cool. But I want to read a couple of verses of Scripture. Jeremiah chapter 9, verses 23 to 24. Thus says the Lord, let not the wise man boast in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man boast in his might. Let not the rich man boast in his riches. But let him who boasts, boast in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who practices steadfast love, justice, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, declares the Lord. And then Psalm 44, verse 8 says, in God we have boasted continually, and we will give thanks to your name. To boast in the Lord is healthy. To boast in what God has done and who he is good. And this morning, before we celebrate Thanksgiving this week, I want you to know that we are here to boast in the Lord. We are here to boast in him because of who he is, because of what he's done, because of what he will do. If you notice, the psalm begins with praise the Lord, praise the name of the Lord. To praise the name of the Lord, if we could move on, to praise the name of the Lord means to praise him for his character. There's a list on here, and these are just a small list of the aspects of God's character for which we praise him. We praise him for so many mighty things that he does. We praise him for who he is. Verse 3 in chapter 135, Psalm 135, says that he is good. It also says that he is pleasant or beautiful because of who he is and what he does. Verse 5 says he's great. Verse 6 says he does what pleases him because he has the power to do so, but he doesn't abuse that power. Verse 13 says he is eternal, and verse 14 says he is compassionate. When you sit down with your family on Thanksgiving Day, please, sometime during that day, take time to think and reflect on the character of the God whom you boast in. Because Thanksgiving is not just about a meal we eat. It's not just about being with family. It's about acknowledging the God we worship and adore, because he is the God we trust in, because he is the faithful God who watches over us. Psalm 135 doesn't stop there. It says we praise him because he is the God of creation. We praise him because he is the God of creation. Verses 6 and 7 says that he created the earth. It says that he created the seas and the sky, that he put the clouds in its place, that lightnings come bringing with it rain, and the wind that gives us the air we breathe. On Thursday, I was coming back home in the afternoon, and I was driving down the 15 freeway. And there were dark clouds on this side and bright white clouds on this side and a clear sky overhead. But on the black clouds on this side, there was an big opening in the clouds. And there was anybody else see that? There was a big ray of light just shining down. And I've got some good news for you. I looked, and it was over where our church is. I called Kelly and said, you got to go outside, look at the sky. She couldn't see that beam of light shining. I looked to the east, and there were huge white clouds with really neat formations. I saw Lisa Teal put that on her Facebook. When I saw that, I'm on the 15, and I can't pull over and stop because I'm not that dumb. But I wanted to so bad to just stop and take it in and say, thank you, God. We praise God because he is the God of creation. And those pictures just are brief pictures of, you've seen all the pictures of creation. You've been out in nature. We praise God as the God of creation. But not only that, Psalm 135 says we praise the God of redemption. We praise the God of redemption. In verses 8 to 12, it mentions the fact that he redeemed them from Egypt. He redeemed them from Egypt. And it mentions the very last plague when the eldest of both man and beast were killed in the last plague. That was what allowed them to go free from under the slavery to the Egyptians. That was what allowed them to begin the Exodus journey towards Canaan. And then it reminded them that God was watching them through all that time. And then it says he was the God who was stronger and struck down many nations. And it mentions Sihon, king of the Amorites, and Og, king of Bashan. And those were the two kings when the Israelites were on their way into the promised land. They said, no, you can't go through here, even though Moses has said, we're not going to do anything harm to you. We just want to pass through. And they said, no. And God said, listen, I promise to take you not just this far, but all the way. And so he defeated those two kings. And I can't help but think, as we're thinking about our lives today, the same God who began the freedom of the Israelites from Egypt and saw them all the way through, even past the obstacles that were in their way so that they could go through to the promised land, that same God is the God who died on a cross to save you and to save me, and who said, I will do everything I possibly can to make sure that you see yourselves through. We praise the God who redeemed us. And then we praise the God of the ages. Verse 13 says, your name, O Lord, endures forever. Your renown, O Lord, throughout all the ages. But that last phrase, throughout all the ages, another way to interpret that is through all the generations. When we praise God as his people, when you and I as adults praise God in the presence of our young people, we are helping them to see that it is God we serve, and it is God we love, and it is God we worship, and that enables them to have him be their God in their lives throughout all the ages. God is not just the God of old people. And sometimes we get stuck in the way we've done things and the way we like things. God is also the God of our young people. And we can learn from them too. I love the fact that he is a God who says, you can praise me through all the ages, through all the generations. There's more in this passage, but time does not permit. But I would just like to look down at verse 19. It's hard sometimes to figure out how to apply some things in the Scripture to our lives. It says, O house of Israel, that's all God's people, bless the Lord. To bless the Lord is to acknowledge him. It's to honor him. It's to tell him that we recognize how awesome he is. And then it says, O house of Aaron, bless the Lord. That was the high priest. That was the leader of God's people to bring them to God. Then it says, bless the Levites, because those are the ones who aided. They were priests too, but they aided Aaron. And I'd like to suggest to you this morning that we are called, you and I are all called to bless the Lord, to honor him, to value him, to recognize him. And those in leadership positions, the pastoral staff, the elders, the deacons, we are called to work together to bless the Lord so that all who fear him, all who love him, all who honor him may bless him too. And so, this afternoon, I'm going to give you the opportunity to praise the Lord. Now, the word praise comes from the word hallel. We get the word, guess what? Hallelujah, from that word. In the Hebrew, it literally means, now this is going to make some of you uncomfortable, it is biblical. It's the most prominent word in the Old Testament for praise. It literally means to praise with hands lifted up. The reason for that is you're acknowledging that you are needing God, that you are reaching out to him. It means that you are reaching out to him and he is greater than you. That is a part of worship. And so this morning, this may be a little uncomfortable. Try it anyway. It took me a while. But I found when I do that, I'm aware, much more aware of how greater God is than I. So I'm going to ask you to stand with me. And there's just three words up there. And it's for all to see and all to read. And we're going to do this at least twice. If you have seen God's blessing, if you want to praise God for who He is, if you have received God's salvation and you want to praise God for the salvation He has promised and the salvation He's going to see that you are go all the way through, if you are grateful that God is the God not just of one generation but of all the ages, of all generations, and you want to praise God for that, would you praise God with me this morning? On the count of three, we're going to praise God. One, two, three. Praise God! I don't think there's ever been so many hands in this house. And it's good to see. On the count of three, one more time. And shout it so that all can hear, because we're boasting about the God of heaven. One, two, three. Praise God! May that be our prayer this Thanksgiving. Thank you, Lord, that you are our God. Thank you that you are the God from whom all blessings flow. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. One announcement before I...